Welcome to our podcast. Oh, you can look for exits, but there aren't any. Consider this your podcast of no return. So you might as well sit back and relax while you listen to tales of the odd, weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy. But beware, you never know what's lurking around each and every corner. Now here are your hosts, Todd and Sean. And they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hey, creepies. Welcome to episode 11. We are your hosts, Todd and Sean. Nate is our sound engineer. And yes, we are middle-aged and creeped out. What's going on, man?
Nothing too much, brother. How you doing?
Good. We are back at it. And so excited to be back at recording after a week off.
We are. We're kind of giddy. We were just talking about after 2 weeks, we got to get together. We have to kind of get all our silliness out. And that's fun.
Yeah. Yeah. And we got our candy cigarettes.
We do. Are we supposed to be? We were not partaking until in between podcasts. Okay.
Yeah. Right. To celebrate the first episode.
They get in the way.
Tonight. Yeah.
Do you partake?
Yeah. No, but so everything going all right with you, Sean?
Mm-hmm. That's good. I went to the chiropractor. I always feel like we're talking about weather or chiropractors. So I went to the chiropractor tonight.
Well, it is middle aged. You
know, I know. It's like I've been
keep
over.
The bones moving.
We're going to call it middle aged and the weather.
I was having a good day and then I've been over and then it was a bad day. The end. Man. We all have ear stuff on. We have our ear plug. I got my plugs. Todd's got his. So we're trying to get used to hearing our own voices in our heads.
Yeah. It's really bizarre. Yeah,
I'm starting to like it already.
I've been doing it since episode 2, so.
Yeah, Nate's an old pro, or young pro.
But I need to, so I can hear how everything's mixed.
Yeah. So. It's bizarre, mm-hmm. But it's kind of cool, though.
Get out of my head.
kids playing sports. And
Harrison's in Franklin Central on the east side, okay. And Ella's playing tonight. So she's at the softball fields in Plainfield with Grandma and Grandpa.
Ooh, fun.
Mama and Papa.
Mama and Papa.
Yeah.
Yeah, Elijah's at soccer. Now, usually his normal games are Thursday nights, but they scheduled a travel team to just kind of give them some competition because they are 6-0, and they've outscored the opponents in six games 62-2.
Whoa.
Wow.
And they've even pulled back some of the games.
Yeah.
Sounds like an all-star team.
Yeah. So now this
they're
team,
on fire.
So this team they're playing as a travel team. I mean, so, you know. It doesn't count against the standings. So now tomorrow night will be a normal, scheduled game. So here the weather is beautiful and perfect outside, but then tomorrow night's supposed to rain, but who knows?
We'll
it's Indiana, who knows?
We'll take it.
Yeah.
Never know.
But that's where my wife and kids are at. And other than that, everything's all right. Nate, what's going on with you, man?
Oh, not a whole lot. Just living life.
Do you have anything special on the week off that we did not record?
Just
hang out at home or?
Just hung out at home, man.
Yeah.
Went out to the camper, started getting it ready to go.
Fun.
So.
Fun. Now, where is the camper at?
It's out west from here, south of Cloverdale.
Oh, yeah.
So, little campground out there.
Nice. So. Nice. I'd like to have a camper.
Do you want to turn into a camper?
Huh?
We could turn you into a camper.
I don't want to turn into a camper.
I was taking you a little.
I don't want to be a camper. I mean, not a, like, yeah. Yeah.
Go camping.
Yeah, I got to have a camper. I have to have a camper.
Yeah, we glamp.
I'm not a tent guy.
We glamp. We have a big travel trailer. So
yeah,
that is glamping.
That's my camping.
If it gets hot or cold
lodge.
Or rainy, we just go inside, play cards, eat.
Yeah, exactly.
Watch TV.
You want to do haunted camping, don't you?
Ooh, that'd be fun.
Go to Raccoon Lake, and then you sleep in there. There's so many raccoons that come out at night, you feel like it's haunted.
Yeah,
and
like Blair Witch when the hands are smacking the tin.
Oh, it is. It's creepy.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah.
I've been there boating one time.
Mm-hmm. It's nice. It's very fun. It's nice, but they are little sons of guns. I'll say it that
sons
way.
Sons of guns.
Uh-huh.
It's a family show.
It is a family show.
That's where we all went camping when we got like 10 inches of rain.
That would have been in 08 because I started at the hospital that same year.
I forgot about that.
The summer before I started because I started in October of 08.
Yeah, our tents were like floating away.
Claire was born. Claire was born the next year. And we had our dog with us and Harrison was little.
Uh-huh.
And we had to, we threw like our air mattresses on.
Normally we'd like cook breakfast, but we were like, forget this. Let's go find somewhere to eat.
The water level was so high. We still did
water
sports.
There's no beach. There's no ramp. The water is like almost up to the shelter house where the bathrooms were.
Oh, I remember that, yeah. That was Vigo County.
Yeah, we had like 10 inches of rain.
Whoa.
It was wild.
I guess so.
We survived, yeah. That was
survived, yeah.
We didn't think we would.
Didn't get washed away.
And luckily, it was almost, because it sort of has like a land bridge to get to the campground.
Yeah.
And it's almost over that, too. So we're lucky to get out of there without getting trapped out there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It would have turned into a island. So, yeah, I remember that. That was fun.
Sounds like
it. Sounds like then we bought a camper.
There you go.
With all that rain and that flooding, where I work, another hospital that's not too far from us ended up having to send us their patients because they got completely washed out. So I remember when I came to our mm-hmm. hospital, we were so busy that there was no stopping.
Mm.
And now I do remember. Yeah, I'd forgotten about that.
I think they claimed it was like 100-year rain. Like it only happens once every 100 years.
A deluge.
That
rain.
Amount. Yeah.
I do. I remember that.
Yeah.
Sounds fun.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't.
No, we were wet. Everything was wet.
It was bad. Yeah.
That's the worst.
It was fun, but since we survived.
Yeah. Well, cool. Well, I'm glad everybody's doing okay, and we are glad you guys are back with us for episode 11. And before we start into our topic discussion, I want to give a little plug to a podcast. I've been listening to this podcast for a little over a year. I've messaged back and forth with the host. The name of the podcast is called Hill City Paranormal Podcast, or Hill City Paranormal, and the host is Woody G. Watts, really good guy, based out of Virginia, and he talks everything paranormal, really big in the Bigfoot aspect, but all kinds of other paranormal and creepy stories. So give them a listen, Hill City Paranormal, and I assume you can find them on all different platforms. I listen to them on iTunes, but
I started you introduced them to me.
I did,
I started listening to him. It's actually really good.
Yeah,
I did a review.
Very good. And he does a lot of interviews.
Mm-hmm.
And he's on Facebook and Instagram, and he posts a lot of investigations, like a lot of the Bigfoot type. You know, he'll go out to whatever area that there's supposed to be sightings or whatever, mm-hmm. and he'll post a lot of videos. If you look up on Facebook, it's pretty cool.
I like the logo is really cool, and the way he produces it's really cool, mm-hmm. too. Okay. Almost as good as ours.
Almost. Sorry, Woody.
Sorry, Woody. No.
No, yeah. It's really good. Yeah, but he does. He posts all the time on social media, and like I said, not just the podcast, but he does videos and, you know, kind of see what they're doing,
mm-hmm.
with the investigative part of things. But, yeah, Hill City Paranormal, Woody G. Watts. So I just want to give a plug for him and his podcast. And the other thing I want to make an announcement about, the month of May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and we are doing a fundraiser. I know we posted on Facebook at least once, and Instagram, but want to mention it on the podcast. So we're doing a fundraiser, and if anybody does want to, you know, donate whatever amount, any amount's appreciated, just get a hold of us, and we can, you know, I can give you my Venmo account, and we're just going to accumulate whatever is donated, and then we're going to present a check to the mental health facility here in Plainfield.
It'll go to a good cause, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah. Yeah,
man, so they're just up and running right, you know, recently.
Yeah, so I drive by them every day going home. They're literally, I mean, I could walk to their place in 5 minutes.
Do you honk and say, check's in the mail?
That's right, it's coming, beep, just beep. Wait, just wait, we're getting, yeah, yeah. So, so yesterday I drove by, it was packed. I mean, a lot of cars, yeah. So it's a must need. And it's a thing where my wife said they need a place to, like, you know, they provide beds, you mm-hmm. know. And, I mean, not just that, there's all kinds of different things, but a lot of other places that run out of, if somebody needs to stay the night or stay a week or whatever it is.
Yeah. Well, I've noticed like a lot of like homeless, they're homeless because they have mental issues.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They need places like this.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
I was going to say we've needed mental health stuff since day one as human beings, but you know, there's always cycles and things that are happening, good and bad times, but this has been a rough time and we need it more now than ever. Yeah. So, yeah, mm-hmm. God bless them. I'm glad they're there.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to see a decline anytime soon.
No, I know. No.
Unfortunately. But, yeah, so, guys, if, like I said, if it falls on your heart, we're not going to force anybody or guilt anybody into donating. But
no, my grandfather used to say every little bit helps. And so, mm-hmm. I mean, that's what we're trying to do here, too. But, yeah.
Yeah, and we didn't talk about, say, hey, this is our goal. We're going to reach this
goal. Whatever we can give is what we can give.
Yeah. So it's much appreciated, you know, appreciated if you want to. But yeah, the whole month of May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and I did not know that until just right before, because I knew it was coming up, but I wasn't sure it was this soon. was mm-hmm. thinking maybe in the fall. I don't know why. But
we were joking that Monday was National Paranormal Day. I didn't know there was such a thing. Of course, every day has something. But we were joking about we need a day of what national day is it? You know, like that. When does that day happen?
Because yesterday was Taco Tuesday, but that's every week.
Yeah, that's every right. week. Yeah. I like that though. That's my favorite holiday. Yeah.
But it's Cinco de Mayo.
It is Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah, now it's Taco Wednesday,
and it was Taco Wednesday. May the 4th be with you.
Cousin of Taco Wednesday.
And then what is it? The fifth returns of the return of the fifth, or I forget how that goes. But it's also Cinco de Mayo, which is a little more. Well, I don't. It depends. If you're Star Wars fans, it's not as impressive. But
that's hilarious. Yeah, it's they're literally every day is something, and every month has something. It's national. Whatever, you know. And one of my favorites again in September is the National Talk Like a Pirate Day. So that'll be upon us soon.
I keep trying to get my birthday as a national holiday, and they keep rejecting.
They don't
do it every year. They reject it.
Now I get mine every year. They do, but they don't. They don't make it a big deal.
But it's not a national holiday.
No. My wife gets a birthday week. I always tease her like, how come I get a day? But you get the days leading up to it, you know, like you get a whole week, and she denies it, but I don't, you know.
Oh, well. Yeah, treat them good.
That's right. So, with all of that said, I'm going to turn it over to Sean, and he can tell you what we're going to be discussing.
You haven't learned your lesson yet, have you? You're going to turn it over to me, and then you're going to be like, son of a gun.
Turn the mics off, Nate. Are you ready?
We're going to restart this. Restart.
I'm on the mute button.
That's right.
Yes. One thing, and I always feel like I'm never quite ready to introduce yet because I always have something else to say. And Todd's taking a stoke off of his cigarette.
I'm trying
candy
to
cigarette. Candy cigarettes here, people. It's a family show.
Yeah.
One thing still thankful, obviously, that we're here at Nate's house. Always appreciate that. Appreciate
thank you, Nate.
Rachel.
No problem. Thank you, Rachel.
We appreciate, I appreciate so much that we're do this again. Like, I look forward to this, and it's like, I'm just so appreciative that we're here, you guys are here, that you guys are enjoying this. We still have people telling us that. Also want to appreciate, and I know we mentioned Amy, you know, we mentioned Jenna, and we thank them too, but Amy for doing, she's always doing and printing out our show notes. So I don't know if I know we thank her, but thank you, Amy, for doing that. We appreciate that.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, always appreciate it.
Yeah, it's the show flow notes that what you hear us with the opening script to what we, you know, make the announcements.
Yeah.
Kind of how we follow, you know, so we know we're staying on track. So
Somebody's got to keep me on track.
It's a full-time job for my
Jenna, Jenna has to have a break every once in a while.
She's got her day job, and she's got me, and then.
I have a mother, I have a wife, and I have a work mother, and I have a work wife, and I have these guys. So somebody's got to always be keeping me in check.
I hear you.
But yes, our episode tonight for 11 is The Clown Motel. And I have to give Todd, this is his baby. This is what he wanted to do. And when he told us that, I was like, I had never heard of it. I was thinking, I'm not surprised that there's such a thing. But so we're going to tell you all more things than you probably ever wanted to know about this clown motel that's out in Nevada. But it's super creepy. If you guys checked out some of the pictures, there's tons of videos of people trying to spend the night or doing interviews there or kind of looking into the history because there's quite a bit of history.
It's bizarre.
It is a bizarre.
Really weird place. Yeah. I had never heard of it until about 3 years ago. Kind of like the H.H. Holmes. I never heard of that guy, and I never heard of the Clown Motel. And I listened
Should we
to
cover
podcast.
H.H. Holmes? Who are we talking about?
Who was that guy? Yeah.
Who is it?
What guy? Super nice guy.
I've heard of the Clown Hotel, but I'm not scared of clowns. They don't.
Yeah.
So it's just like, okay, yeah, I've heard about it. I'm not going to go there because
I'm
not into clowns.
Have you watched it?
Oh, yeah, I love it. See, it's Pennywise.
One of my favorite.
You should be afraid.
No, I mean, just.
Put you me don't have a phobia.
No, like put me in people. A room around all these clowns. I was like, okay, it's clowns. Right.
The official name of fear of clowns is coulrophobia. So if you're afraid of clowns, you have coulrophobia.
Yep.
I don't have chloroform.
Chloroform. You don't have chloroform. Oh, no. Wait, that's back to H.H. Holmes again. We're just going to keep going back to that one.
Yeah.
Forever and ever.
Sorry, I have a hard time pronunciating things.
Oh, no, you did great. I think H.H. Holmes is always going to come up. Turd is always going to. Certain things are going to come up. We're just going to have to keep bringing
somehow them. They insert themselves into another topic. I know.
So now you have to listen to all the podcasts to understand what the heck we're talking about half the time.
Yeah. Go to Romania to the...
The underground amusement park.
Yeah.
Yep. This place is in, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, Tonopah, Nevada.
It is Tonopah.
Tonopah. Okay.
And the only reason I know that was one of the videos, and there was a local there, and she was saying, the guy was saying it wrong, and she said, it's Tonopah. And so I was thinking it or saying it wrong myself.
And I'm embarrassed because I read a lot about these, or a lot of stories about the motel, and I watched probably five videos, and I still botched the name.
Yeah. No.
Tonopah, which is, now they said smack dab in the middle of Las Vegas and Reno.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
They said pretty much right in the middle. So that's kind of gives you an idea of where it's located. So
it's labeled as America's scariest motel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know the difference between a motel and a hotel?
Go ahead.
Motel is a single story?
I think so, yeah. That's what I was going to go with.
Yeah.
I was going to say this is almost as good as cemetery and graveyard, right?
But right. Yeah. Right. I can't remember that.
That's what I was assuming. And the rates are lower.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, usually with a motel.
They're a little bit more junkier.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But not this one.
Yeah. No, not the Clown Motel. If anybody's listening from
it. Yeah.
It's two stories, so it's actually a hotel.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. If you look at the picture, it is actually. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, maybe we have. Yeah. We should probably look that up.
Yeah.
Just the lower rates, right?
I looked up they have a motto. And I like that. This is really cool. If I can see my notes here, it says, "We'll do everything to make your stay comfortable, but what happens after dark is out of our hands."
That's so good. You know, ooh. I never saw that.
Oh, you didn't? The motto?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, I saw it two or three places.
What's a motto? Yeah. What's a motto? What do?
What's a motto?
What's a motto? What do? Yeah, the Italian joke.
Well, and you got the tomato, and then. Oh man, sorry. We apologize to the listeners already.
The podcast. It's because of these. It's the thing that we can hear our own voices is making
us
silly.
And now here comes Sam.
Now we can test that.
Yeah. So I thought that was a pretty good motto. You know, we'll do everything to make your stay comfortable, but what happens after dark is out of our hands.
Did you see any of the pictures of inside in some of the rooms?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, they have like paintings of like Pennywise and
that was creepy.
Different types of clowns.
Well, that's in my notes. Yeah.
Well, we haven't gotten to your stats even yet. We haven't even gotten to your stats yet.
I have a few stats.
That's surprising.
I know. Nothing really that exciting, I don't think. Now, Tonopah has about 2,400 residents, so it's not very big.
It's literally out in the middle of nowhere, they said, right?
Well, you know, you saw the backdrop of the motel, the mountains. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's just right. It's a desert. I mean, it's in the desert.
Right.
But yeah, 2,400 residents, approximate. The hotel or motel was built in 1985 by Leroy and Leona David. And it was built in the memory of their dad, Clarence David. And he was a clown lover and said that he left over 150 clowns in his home. So they decided to use the clowns as the theme for the motel. I thought that was kind of interesting.
And the dad is buried. Mm-hmm.
There's a graveyard.
The graveyard.
Minor graveyard there.
And he is buried across across the road, which ties into this, with the creepy part of it. Yep. Mm-hmm. I thought that was interesting. He obviously loved clowns, 150 of them.
The collection started at 150. And then I heard.
From what he had in his house.
Right.
And then it's just.
It's grown. I heard numbers of 600, but then I heard like upwards of like 2,000 different clown memorabilia, right?
Yeah. I read like the newest owners, because now they're sort of clinging on to the scary aspect of it. So now it's like it's has its own life into it now. And all these people are sending clowns and anything clown related to them. So it's constantly just rolling in.
Yeah, they got like a box of clowns that showed up, and here we go. Yeah, so it's probably is in the thousands.
Yeah, so the guy, like I said, we can, you know, we'll talk about like who owned it and who does now. But yeah, the last I saw, the last stat, it said 2,000 plus clowns.
Yeah.
And it, I mean, from the, you know, when you check, you know, they got tons of clowns in the main, not waiting area, but the
check-in office.
Front office, from the rooms to the hall. Yeah, I mean, of course, then they got pictures and paintings and murals everywhere, but yeah.
And all the doors have a clown on the door.
Like
a wooden clown.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I put that it's from all eras and corners of the earth.
There you go. Yeah.
They everybody send it in.
Yep. I think that's kind of neat, though. People are sending clowns to the motel, you know, and puts it wherever. And
you feeling like donating?
No.
You want it? You're going to keep your clown?
I'm going to collection. Keep my clown. Yeah, okay. Which is zero.
I think I'm at the zero mark.
I've been called a clown. I mean, class clown. I was.
Is anybody going to point out that three clowns? I really shouldn't say. Nate's not a clown.
He's not.
I don't even talk about
you're
clown. Okay,
too kind.
Sean, you're
allowing a clown to talk about clowns.
You know, I never saw a bozo. I wonder how many bozo figurines they have or any.
Yeah. I used to love to watch the Bozos
Cookie
Big Prize game.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Remember the bucket? Bozo? Remember the bucket challenge?
I'd always clown, yep.
Because, you know, I grew up playing sports and basketball, and I'm like, I would nail it first time, you know, one through six, and they'd always get either the little girl or the boy that's like barely can walk. I'm like, why are they the ones that got picked? Yeah. Or you get the ones that should have. They're big enough, old enough, and they go past two. I'm like, what a waste.
So much pressure on those
kids. Was that show like regional? I think it was more
Chicago. It was on WGN.
Yeah. So some people WGN, might not know what we're talking about. Bozo show.
Yeah, and Cookie was the sidekick. Gosh, Nate, that's awesome.
I don't know why I remembered that.
That was in my mind somewhere to talk about. I mean, we got to talk about Ronald McDonald. We got to talk about Bozo.
Well, yeah. Ronald McDonald's
the history of clowns. We could go into hours of the histories of clowns, right?
Yeah.
I got it pulled up.
well, I mean, sticks with the whole creepy side of it. There's that serial killer that dressed up as a clown.
Oh, John Wayne Gacy. We talked about him from Chicago, out in the Chicago area.
John Wayne Gacy.
Yeah, kids' birthday parties and all kinds of.
Yeah.
He was a creep.
That's a bad clown.
The heebie-jeebies.
Yeah, that's not a good clown. No, he was a clown, but oof.
Yeah.
And you said, Sean, did you say it was dubbed the America's Scariest Motel?
I did say,
Yep. And you know, like I said, it's just across the road from a cemetery that it's been there, I think, since 1901 to 1911, I believe. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And let's see here. And it has, now the motel has 31 rooms, and they all feature two or three custom clown art pieces, is what I saw. Mm-hmm. Did you guys see that in your notes?
I did. And then I saw some of the videos, too.
Yeah, pictures and videos, yeah.
Art might be a little bit of a stretch.
A
little stretch.
And the current owner said that his goal was to have rooms done in themes. They wanted The Exorcist.
Yes, more horror.
You're going to book that one, aren't you, Todd?
I am. Not really. I hate that movie. I'll take the Pennywise room, you know. Michael, I think they said Halloween.
That'd be cool.
Yep. There's like four or five, but he wants to have the rooms where you can view the cemetery. So he wants to make sure they're placed, you know, just right So I think that adds a little more creepiness.
Yeah.
That's cool, though. I think that, you know.
He should put like a animatronics out there, things looking like they're coming up out of the grave. Ooh, that would freak people out.
You probably get a job for you.
Hire me.
Yeah,
I got ideas.
You're getting calls tonight.
I think this is what we should do. He probably would. He'd be like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
We were just clowning around.
I saw something move over there.
Sorry, I couldn't help myself. It's going to happen this whole time. Yeah. I'm sorry.
I'm going to get you a red ball and put it on your nose.
Clowning around.
So it kind of gives you an idea of, you know, kind of where it's at. When it was built, I want to get to the haunting and paranormal side of things.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to, Tonopah itself is a historic mining town.
Yes.
And it was one of the richest booms in the West. And, May 19th was that big, like May 19th, 1900, Jim Butler was the prospector and he discovered, silver and gold by accident out there.
Oh, interesting.
So that was just something about the town.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as we get into the stuff, we'll talk about
the original owners. I can't remember. Leon and Leroy, I think.
Oh, yeah. Leroy and Leona Davis.
Leona.
Their father was one of the miners, and that's how he passed away. A fire started down there, and he was helping other miners trying to get on the car to get out of there, and he fell off.
Right.
And never emerged.
Yeah.
So they finally rescued his deceased body, but
they call it the Tonopah-Belmont mine fire of 1911.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of men.
But I think the one they had another one like in the 40s. I think that's the one that got him or something like that. I think there's numerous times of fires.
Yeah, I'll have to. He's gonna hear my paper shuffle. Yeah, I've got five pages of notes. I think I have that in there. But yeah. Yeah, this fire of 1911, though, put a lot of the miners in.
Yeah, that's the big one.
Right. So, Sean or Nate, you want to start with any of your stories or anything you found as far as the...
I saw some of the rooms, especially, are haunted. And then it was funny because it depends on what you're watching, but some of the, like the owner would say, oh, you know, I haven't had anything go on, but there are definitely people that are saying that that they had, like, some of the different clowns in the rooms are moving, or they've seen. The coolest thing was they had one guy that was doing an investigation, and he was talking with the current owner, and he was asking if any of the clowns within the office, because there's so many clowns in there, if any of them are haunted. And he's like, oh yeah. And he's like, which one's your most haunted one? And it was one at the top, is a real creepy looking one. And they had picked out another one that they were thinking about asking if they could bring it into the room and spend the night with it to see if anything would happen. And he's like, no, take this really creepy one. And so they took that one, and they were like, oh, they were so excited that something was going to happen. Cause they said that this is the one, if something's going to happen, it'll happen. I didn't see that where they actually had anything happen, but they're probably getting too excited about it.
Yeah, I saw one of the paranormal investigation shows or whatever. They did an episode there.
Yeah.
And they got on footage one of the clowns, like, sitting in a chair. It's like a full-size type clown. Like, it moved its arm on its own.
Right.
And they got it on footage. So
nice.
That's pretty creepy.
I've got written down. They said the rooms that are, you know, the ones that have the most activity or possible, 108, 111, 210, and then the main ones, 214.
Yeah,
is the main one of all those. But those are like the four or five. And I wrote down, you know, starting with room 108, said a story that was told. An elderly man, he called the front desk for help. Excuse me, after becoming severely unwell, and he called the front desk, and it rang and rang. No one responded. After calling his sister, because obviously he wasn't getting a response from the front office, his sister called 911, and they ended up getting to him, but he died on his way to the hospital. Well, when the police and whatever, they were questioning, they were looking into what happened, and they questioned the front desk clerk, and you know, was asking, hey, you know, what's going on with the, you know, said the phone never rang and nobody responded. And they said on their end, and they looked at surveillance tapes and looked into it. They had no record of the phone ringing on their end.
On their end.
You know, so nobody got charged with anything. But they thought, well, there could be something that was interfering with this man's call for help.
Right.
Man. You know, yeah. Hmm. And he was in room 108.
They say that there's like ghosts of the miners, and obviously the clowns too that we're talking about. But there was a story about a guy that his toilet was broken and he had asked for help, and some guy came and fixed it. He said, I could hear it. He even taken like the lid of the toilet off, and he's like, he fixed it. And so the next morning they were like, hey, we need to come out and fix your toilet. And he's like, no, the guy already came out and fixed it. And they're like, we haven't sent anybody out to fix it. And so he told them all about it. And the owner even was like, oh my gosh. He's right. Like, so that got fixed by a spirit.
And I read that story, and I think it's, it was a group of women that were, it was either the toilet or the shower or something like that. There was three or four of them. And they all said, no, there was somebody in here fixing, you know, he insisted to fix it. And, but nobody was like, no, there's nobody there. We didn't send anybody to fix your issue. Yeah. But they all swore that there was somebody.
Wouldn't that be nice if you're the owner and you're like,
yeah, you're a nice guy.
We don't ever have to fix anything. The ghosts just take care of it.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
What the ghosts don't take care of, the clowns do. No big deal.
Did you guys have any, like, in regards to the specific rooms, did you have any? Because I've got at least one story for each of those rooms. So,
no, I didn't really dive too deep into the haunting side of it.
Okay.
Sean? I have more like the actual graveyard and like who's buried back there and some of that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So room 111 is on the list. And it said again, now this is going to kind of show a theme. So room 111, another elderly man was staying there, and he was there to live out his days after being told he had a short life or a short time to live. And along with the story, they were saying that a lot of the elderly actually go to motels to do that. It's kind of, I mean, that's in a weird way, but it's kind of like a, you know, when an animal in the forest or the woods goes and, you know, finds a tree to die. I'm like, oh, how sad, you know, like, but anyway, so that's what he did. And, each night he went to, you know, to sleep, and he didn't expect to wake up. And again, kept waking up. One day he told the motel staff that there was a eerie shadow that would appear in his room. in the early hours of each morning, and the old man begged the shadow spirit to take his life, but was repeatedly denied. Then the old man, being frustrated, decided to shoot himself in the Clown Motel parking lot.
Ooh.
So that's how he ended up taking his life. Thought, ooh, that's, yeah.
Yeah, I'd heard that there are like different stories about people either getting killed or killing themselves or different stories, yeah. But I guess any place that you're going to have people moving in and out, nasty things are going to happen. But gosh, that's awful.
Yeah. The Grim Reaper wasn't ready to take him.
Wasn't ready to take him, so he decided to take him, take his own life. Yeah, I thought, and I'm reading that, I'm like, oh man, what a terrible ending. Then moved to room 210. This one's pretty interesting too. This one has to do with a long haul trucker. He stayed and died in the very room of 210. He had severe back pain, and in the first morning after waking up in the hotel room, he felt he hardly felt any pain whatsoever after years of battling excruciating back pain. First time in years, and he was convinced that the motel spirits, I'll say in quotes, cured him, and he lived there, they said, for 6 years until he died in that room, in the same room that he believed cured his back pain, which was room 210.
So you don't need a maintenance man. You don't need the, you have a doctor. You're good. So, I mean, you don't need to go to the hospital.
Yeah. You got this chiropractor, like, plumber.
This go is there like and the live new, out the rest of your
the
years.
The new Garden of Eden, right?
Right.
It's utopia.
Right. And then, like I said, I've got a bunch of notes about the different paranormal, and we can go back and forth between the cemetery, but I'll just read this one more. One guest said that they had a knock on the door, and when they went to check, no one was there. But they also heard creepy voices, and then looked into it, and they found scratches on the wall. So, yeah. So not only did they not see anybody after they answered the door, but then later on they found scratches that wasn't there when they checked in. So,
Wow.
Interesting. Yeah.
That would creep you out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
were there any stories? I didn't see any. I was hoping, not hoping, but the father, that's buried there was
Clarence.
Clarence. Mm-hmm. Has he ever haunted or any stories about him haunting?
I did not find any.
I didn't either. No, I just
about him particularly. No.
Like minors in general, but I was just wondering if they ever thought.
Yeah. I mean, you get shadows there. And ghosts and sounds and the miners and other spirit, but I never saw anything regarding, Clarence David, haunting it. So
we were talking, the way that the cemetery is really close to it, and even part of the motel is like on what used to be some of the cemetery. Mm-hmm. Is that correct? As I understood, or is it just really butted up against it?
I think it's just,
I was trying to figure out the videos.
Because if you see there, it's across the road. I mean, it's across from the light.
Well, they definitely highlight it. I mean, they got lights, shining up some of the grave markers and the entrance of the cemetery and all that stuff.
Well,
graveyard, whatever.
As I was looking into this and driving home every day, I don't know. I've driven past it 1,000 times, but not to give exact coordinates, but there's a graveyard on 67 and 42. And when you cross there, it's over by, just as you're going down, there's a school, and then you come down, and then there's the graveyard. But there is on the graveyard's on the top of the hill, and then you're right there at 67.
Yeah,
I think that's 42 or what? Or yeah, that's 42. Mm-hmm. But there's a house, and it looks like I don't think anybody lives there. Maybe they do. I hope, but it's underneath. It's kind of like in the hill, and then right behind it, or part of it, is this cemetery. Mm-hmm. And I was just sitting there at the light, and I looked up in my mirror, and I'm like. And it was just meant because this was on my mind and how close cemeteries are sometimes to houses or, businesses. And I was like, that is, just being in that house. And I was thinking, that's right here in Mooresville, or close here. And how creepy would that be? And would you want to stay in that house? And how haunted must that be if it's right there with that cemetery? And that cemetery looks a lot older, too. So
I think they look creepy. I've never been one, though. It wouldn't bother me.
Maybe. No, I've never.
And I'm not just saying that because I'm an adult, but yeah, even as a kid, that didn't.
Yeah,
but that would take some guts to be. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It really would. I mean, if you're going to stay there a night or two or a week or whatever, that's a whole. And they're like people are trying to stay for like a month and see what they can experience.
Right.
But yeah, if you lived in a house or lived there on property, I think that would just be really. That'd be scary.
My opinion might be changed if I was out at a cemetery and it got dark and foggy and started hearing twigs snap around me.
Right.
Like, okay, yeah, they are scary.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, I mean, generally, I don't have a problem with them.
It's kind of like the clowns. I mean, they never bother me. I mean, they can look creepy and weird, but they don't. I don't have a phobia, and I don't have, I don't know, cemeteries. And
you don't hold your breath when you go by one?
No.
I should stop doing that then? You're saying? Okay. I had a friend, when I was a kid, that was the first time I ever heard that, and he was holding his breath, and it, like, visibly, you know, and puffing his cheeks out, and I was like, what are you doing? We were... We weren't even, maybe
lift your feet off the floorboard going over train tracks.
Train tracks,
No, that one I've never heard
the
of.
The superstition. Yeah,
I've heard of the holding the breath thing, but not.
Yeah, but he was like
lifting your feet.
He wouldn't talk to me until after we were past that cemetery, and he's like, "It's because we were going past the cemetery."
He should just bash his cheeks.
I know. Like, what if you're?
No.
What if we have to?
What are you doing?
You're gonna suffocate.
Yeah, you're like, what?
This is a long cemetery.
This is a really. Yeah, I know. Some of the nicest, I mean, this sounds a little morbid too, but.
Or is he holding his feet up, going over railroad tracks as he's holding his breath? Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. This is a whole, it got a little weird.
You want to spin some plates too while you're at it?
Some of the nicest walks I've probably taken are through cemeteries though. Like I used to walk our dog. We lived real close to a cemetery. Not close enough for, our house was never haunted, but it was basically kind of like in between where my wife and I lived, and we lived really like a mile from our, my in-laws. And in between us was a cemetery, but I take Jack through there all the time. It was so peaceful. And my sister lived not too far from one, and I've walked over there. And but those are, that's just really in the daytime. I don't think I've frequented too many at night. But
yeah, it's just something I've never.
They're peaceful. And look at some of people's graves and what they do and the ornate. I think
some of the tombstones are really ornate.
Yeah, they're beautiful,
nice looking. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The I think the thing that always creeped me out were mausoleums, and there was like. I remember as a kid, and I'm sure I just creeped myself out, but I remember this like freshly dug grave, and there was all this like earth and bushes and all this stuff. And I swear that something was moving in there, and it was probably some kind of an animal, but it was in my mind, it was a dead body. It was like, oh, it's got to be a dead body, a zombie. There's a zombie in there, you know? And I remember that very vividly, but it was real close to, it was my grandparents' grave, but there was a mausoleum right across from them. And it just, I could creep myself out thinking about that. If I gave myself my imagination, you know, fuel and time.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think as a kid, if somebody, hey, you want to walk through there? I don't think I've been crazy about it.
Run through there. Yeah.
But really though, I mean, it's never been anything that there's other things that creep me out, you know, but, and especially as an adult now, I mean, literally there could be one across the street. It wouldn't bother me. I don't know why, just, but I get it though, why they could be.
Oh yeah.
You know, I do have one before we get into kind of like with the miners and then the current owner type, hauntings and information. Did say one visitor noted that he and his wife stayed there. They stayed the night, and they said they didn't experience anything crazy. but his wife did say that she heard a creepy laugh outside their door, and they felt several cold spots in the room. And then she also felt something poke her arm as she slept. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that's not creepy. Or that's not, yeah, so.
Yeah, it's pretty creepy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wake me up.
Yeah. No, that's creepy. Yeah.
Because the rates to stay, I mean, it's not that much.
It's not.
For us, we'd have to travel out there, but that's, what, 35 bucks, 39 bucks?
Yeah.
45 at
the most. Very inexpensive.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you go out there, I mean, you get the entertainment value too, but, and you get some kind of an experience like that, like, that's totally worth it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you want that.
Yeah. And I think, what's the main travel rating, like Travelocity or one of the, I don't know, hotel something. They got almost like 4 stars, like 3 3/4 stars. So it's not like a dump.
Yeah.
It's not, not your 5-star luxury.
Well, I'm sure they got to keep some sort of, you know, high rating, keep it open and keep everything going and keep people coming back. And
I looked at maybe 10 reviews to see just what they said about it, you know, and some of them do say it's just the creepy stuff, whatever. But nobody actually, they're just based on a place to stay, take out the theme of it. Yeah, I'd say 8 out of 10, 9 out of 10 says a really pleasant place to stay. The staff was nice, courteous, clean, you know. So
it had it was like HBO is included and clean room is included. I was like, well, that's good.
Yeah, that's kind of what you hope.
You hope, but for the rate, I think they're saying, like, look, this is a lot.
Yeah,
sure. So yeah, whatever, you know, Sean or Nate, whatever notes you have as far as the want to get into the cemetery. And the
I had a couple. Like I said, we could talk for a long time on history of clowns, but this drug me into kind of talking about some of that, the aspects of clown history, because I love history. But I didn't know this. You know, you think about the jesters and all the medieval times or whatever, but the idea of clowns can go back all the way to the 5th dynasty of Egypt around 2400 BC. And they were, says they were unlike court jesters. They have traditionally served to make people happy. So they were designed as like a fool or as whatever. But they have somewhere along the lines, there was the idea that there's a sad clown and behind the happy face, there's a sad face to juxtapose. And then they said that clowns started getting in. That's the circus clown and all that kind of stuff. And they had the happy ones and the sad ones and the ones that make you laugh. But in the 70s, it started changing into scary clowns. So a lot of the horror movies obviously helped with that. We've named some of them already. But then they've gone into the commercial clowns. You know, we talked about Bozo and the Cookie and Ronald McDonald. Mm-hmm. You know, and so to me, it was because they were showing all these different like clowns. And somebody, they were like, oh, they're good clowns. None of these are scary clowns. And then they would be like, except for this one and that one and this one over here. But, you know, it's just, everybody has their own way of looking at it. But like I said, there's a whole different realm of why clowns, why people love them, why people hate them. And then some people are just like, I can take them or leave them. Now, when I was a kid at the circus, I liked the animals. And I did enjoy like people doing, you know, like trapeze and stuff like that.
Oh yeah.
But I'll be honest, I like the clowns, you know, at the time.
Yeah, I thought they were fun.
They're entertaining. I've gone to a lot of rodeos out west and stuff.
Right.
And the rodeo clowns are
really impressive. Yeah.
They're top notch. Mm-hmm. They're great. Yep. I mean, they keep you just as much entertained or more than watching them bucking broncos and, mm-hmm. and lassoing calves and riding the bulls. I mean, that's half of it, and then the clowns are the other half. I mean, they're
a dangerous job.
Oh yeah,
I wouldn't do it.
They're fun, man.
You know, I think the thing with clowns is, yeah, they can look funny. They can look funny, silly, goofy. They can look sad, happy. But I think a lot of people, that it's what's behind the clown makeup.
Mm-hmm.
Who's right. behind that? Mm-hmm. Kind of like John Wayne Gacy. You know,
the Joker. Have you guys seen the new one?
Yeah, and it's
is it. Sinister? Is it who's the one behind this clown makeup? You know, I think that's a lot. I think, to me, maybe I'm wrong, but
I was looking at that when I posted online that the Joker, Batman turned 83 and Joker turned 81 last week, within the last few weeks, and the Joker had all his pictures since he was first introduced.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah,
and there was the one where Harrison's like, "Which is this one? I don't remember this one," and it was the one where. God, that's so creepy that where Joker actually removed his own face and then had it surgically put back on. I was like, yeah, that was a dark time of the Joker's history. It's really interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. I always liked the Joker in Batman. Mm-hmm. I thought that is one of my favorite characters.
Yeah. He's
him and the Riddler.
Yeah. Him and the Riddler. I like the Penguin, but I think Joker is by far Batman's biggest.
Cesar Romero nemesis. Was the original.
Yeah. You
know, at least in the 60s. Yeah. Oh, he did great.
And they wanted him to shave his mustache. And
he wouldn't
refused.
Do it.
Yeah. So they just put the makeup over.
And it was still believable. That's the funny thing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Loved it.
There was an interview of him, and he was in his makeup, but he's just in like his t-shirt, and they're talking to him. And they were asking him questions about like the history of the Joker. And he's like, yeah, I really don't know. But this is just so much fun to do. Like, he just loved playing the character because it was fun. You know?
Oh, yeah.
He got to have fun.
He had a great laugh. He did a good Joker laugh.
Right.
And I remember
maniacal.
Maniacal laugh.
Growing up in my teenage years, the movie Killer Clowns from Outer Space came out.
Classic. I was so hoping you'd bring it up.
Classic. That movie.
Yes.
It's on Netflix right now.
I know. Probably about a month ago, me and the boys watched it. I said, boys, come here.
Yes.
We got to watch this.
Yep. Harrison and I watched it, because I kept saying, we don't have to watch all this because I know this gets really, really silly. He's like, no, I want to watch it. And we did. We made it through the whole thing. Uh-huh. And my brother loved that. I know we mentioned him a lot. He's like, you mentioned me a lot on the podcast. And you guys are... I'm like, we're trying to get you on the podcast. So if you want to talk about Killer Clowns from Outer Space in depth, come on, Chad. But Chad, he was the first one that like was big into it. And so I told Harrison, I'm like, you're Uncle Chad. But and I talked to him recently. He's like, you know, that honestly really creeped me out when we were younger.
Mm-hmm.
But it is. It's such a bizarre
movie. Yeah, they have the curly Q. straw and they stick it in the cotton candy cocoon. Yep, cocoons. Suck the blood out. Yeah, I was like, oh.
Just to see if they're ready. Or to get the juice.
But there's one line I always say, and you can always tell if someone's watched the movie because they know exactly what movie this line comes from. And every once in a while, I'll just throw out, what are you guys going to do with those boys going to do with those pies, boys?
All right. And, oh, and that guy gets melted.
And they all come out of that little car.
Pelting. Yes.
20 of them. They just start pelting
him
with all the pies.
Melts them.
Yeah. Oh.
Well, and the other one is, what are you going to do? Knock my block off? And this little tiny clown has, he pulls out this punch in, or like a boxing glove.
Yep.
And then he literally knocks this guy's head clean off. It's so, the effects are not, they're pretty hokey, but it's so funny.
Yeah, I mean, it's classic. 80s movie effects.
Definitely
stuff,
80s, yeah. My wife's seen it. We talked about it. Yeah, it's been a while since, I don't know, maybe a decade plus since I've seen it. But, yeah. It's
a the one that sticks with me the most, and it did when I watched it the other, or a couple weekends ago, was when the sheriff gets killed and they use him as a puppet.
Mm-hmm. I forgot about that scene.
Oh, and he's like, don't be afraid. We're just going to kill you. I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So and he's got the rosy cheeks. Yeah, you got to go watch it to understand it, but it's going to be silly. And
it's worth watching.
It's definitely a campy
at least
80s.
Once.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You'll never look at clowns the same. That's his thing.
Uh-huh.
It's like Attack of the Killer Tomatoes. You'll never look at tomatoes the same.
Yeah. Spaceship's a circus.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, the circus isn't. It was funny. They're looking for a spaceship, and they're like, oh, no, but the circus is in town. Like, no, guys, it's not.
It's a funny show. Funny movie. But I'm trying to look here at my notes. Did you see any interviews with the current present owner? His name's like Hami Armand.
I did. The one that was talking about the toilet getting fixed.
He's from I think India. Mm-hmm. If I could be wrong.
Yeah.
I guess that's the way you pronounce it. I don't know.
Yeah, because the first owners had said to the second owner, and that owner was Bob Prichetti?
Yes.
He's the second owner, and then now they're on the third owner.
Yeah, because he went
but
retired.
Each owner want, like, you have to keep it as clown-themed, make it better, make it your own, but you have, that's like a stipulation in the business contract.
It's in the contract.
Current owner, I think he comes from a hotel background, so.
Yeah.
And he visited the Clown Motel when it was owned by, how did you pronounce his name?
Bob Prichetti.
Yeah. And he just fell in love with it.
Yeah.
And he was like, you know, he'd love to work there or own it or someday. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So then when Bob wanted to retire, he's like, I couldn't pass it up.
Bob wanted he wouldn't have more time for his grandkids. It's like, no, you just want to get out of this haunted clown motel.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Because I saw about two or three interviews with him. It seemed like a really
good
dude.
He probably didn't. Obviously just want to retire. But.
So the current owner bought it in 2017 for $900,000.
That's a steal. Yeah, that's a pretty good price.
I thought so.
If we could get some money together. Yeah. We could be the owners, the next owners, the fourth owners.
Yeah. I thought we were going to run the carnival in Romania. No.
Oh. Yeah. Well, okay. We have a list. Field trip list and things to own list, right? And run.
Hey, guys, we bought a clown motel now. What?
What?
Yeah, so 900 grand he bought that. I thought, it's not bad. And he likes to be called, did you see what he like? He likes to be called the CEO of the Clown Motel, not just the owner or the
That's
CEO.
That's funny.
Literally, his title is CEO of the Clown Motel.
I just go for King.
Yeah.
King of the Clown Motel.
Clown King. Yeah.
Clown King.
And he is one that he does believe, which we'll get into, a lot of the hauntings and the paranormal activity stem from the cemetery.
Yeah.
Because he believes a lot of the miners are the ones that are coming to.
I mean, it's right next to it. Ghosts want soft beds too.
So. Yeah. Try.
There's a whole bunch of information about how, like, the people that are buried there, and they have a walking tour you can go to, and you can actually go there and investigate. But I don't know. Did you guys have some of that? The people that were buried?
I've got a whole list of them.
A whole list of them. Well, I had a couple of them. Bina Veralt, an incredible woman running from the law in New York City, who ended up dying in Tonopah. She currently haunts the visitor center at Tonopah Historic Mining Park. And we can talk about more. If you guys have more on any of these people, let me know. But George Devil Davis, The first first African-American in Tonopah, a political leader and an integral part of the community, he was known for being a joker and a prankster, a clown himself, right? Is rumored to still be playing pranks at the Tonopah Liquor Company.
And he was murdered by his wife.
Ooh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
Ooh. Had that summer.
Mm-hmm. In the same bar saloon that he owned. Yeah, she came right up to him, point blank, shot him.
Ooh.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
That's awful.
Yep.
The I'm going to say this wrong. The Marojevic brothers, both killed in a mine accident at the Belmont Mine. Big Bill Murphy, not Bill Murray, but Bill Murphy, is their local hero who was killed in Belmont mine fire of 1911 while rescuing others. Tom Logan is Tonopah's sheriff, a very popular man with a reputation for being honest and fair. Unarmed and wearing only his nightclothes, he was killed by an assailant outside a brothel in Manhattan, Nevada.
Yep.
And the Merton brothers were three brothers that died within 2 years of each other. The town of Tonopah came together then, as it does now, to take care of the family left behind.
Yeah, all of those that you mentioned I had in my notes. Yeah, the Merton brothers, between 1908 and 1910, all died. Albert died of typhoid fever. Merton died of... I'm trying to think here. He was in the mine. William died of heart failure.
There's a lot of heart failures, too.
Yeah, he was only 17. He was a baby.
I was listening, like, some of them were in their 40s in heart failure, and I'm like, that's not good.
Yeah, so typhoid fever.
Well, then I'm not going.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't you're not. You're out.
That's an old man.
That Bina Veralt was, she was a scammer.
There's a lot more.
She bilked unsuspecting men. They said over $100,000 of, cash, jewelry, and other gifts. And they estimate, here's my stats, they said if it in today's money, that would have been $2.5 million that she got.
Isn't that amazing?
From different men that she...
She was a scoundrel.
Got, she scammed out of.
She didn't have a murder castle, did she?
No, I don't think so. I didn't see that. Yeah, right. And then
two worlds collide, right?
She had an accomplice, and so they kind of worked together, so... Let's just say both of them, combined, got that much money. But then they fled authorities, but they were caught, and she died from alcohol poisoning.
Hmm.
So, but good old Bina.
You got to die of something, but certain things you would not want to die of.
No. But yeah, I like that Big Bill Murphy, the hero, trying to save people. He just kept going back and trying to save as many guys as possible in that fire. I thought that was cool.
I found a thing about the cemetery because there's a lot of, I saw some incredible things and then but they have to make sure that people understand some of the cemetery myths and facts. Like a big myth is the old cemetery closed due to being overcrowded. And it said the fact is the old cemetery closed as the tailings of the Tonopah Extension Mine kept washing over the graves, mm-hmm. destroying headstones. The mine was planning an extension of their operation and wanted to prevent the cemetery property from expanding. They donated the property of the new cemetery that is still in use today. Another myth was a lot of people buried in the cemetery died to a mysterious plague. That's what I kept seeing. I was like, whoa, what's this plague about in the early 1900s?
Yeah.
It's also known as the Tonopah Plague. That occurred in 1902, and this has got the fact is the plague was a huge number of deaths in 1905, not 1902. It was due to pneumonia and assumed to be a result of the lack of sanitation. Not a big shocker back then, probably.
You see, that's what they said is they thought it was, or they claimed it was pneumonia, but when they looked bodies, like the livers were rock hard and mm-hmm. black organs and that kind of stuff. So it's like I don't recall pneumonia doing that to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and it says that they were especially close to slaughterhouses. So 56 people died between January and April, according to the Secretary of State Board of Health. In the report, Governor John Sparks, Governor John Sparks, after an article in the San Francisco Call about the pneumonia scourge in Tonopah in 1901-1902, the Tonopah Daily Bonanza replied with a correction arguing that they find the 27 deaths due to pneumonia between May 1901 and January 1902 in relation to the population of the 1500, mortuary rate. There is nothing mysterious about the pneumonia cases in 1901, 1902, or 1905, as they were well documented in the local newspaper, mm-hmm. is what they're saying anyway.
Yeah.
It says myth number three was the headstones have always listed the cause of death, and the cause of death was added in recent decades based on historic research. So that's not really true that they've always done that. So I thought that was interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think just, yeah, you got the motel and then that cemetery, just the two playing off of each other. I think that's really interesting. And it, you know, with the true it's history of too. The mine fire and, you know, the deaths. And
yeah, perfect combination, having both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Clown motel and a graveyard.
Right. What was interesting is Bob Prichetti or whatever, I watched a couple of interviews, and he was saying that, and his assistant, the old lady, she said when she was scared of clowns, and she wasn't crazy about them, but she wanted a job, and so he hired her, and she said she had to get over her fear and phobia, and then she, you know, and then she could deal with it.
Right.
But they're both saying that a lot of the people, hotel stay clients, they'll go there to try to get over their fear.
What better place?
Of the clowns, because they're like tired of dealing with, and I thought, oh, interesting. Yeah, what better place than the Clown Motel? But she said, one lady, he literally had to help, like they had to help her walk into the room.
Gosh.
And, you know, like escort her, you know, and help her like walk around and you know, just having panic attacks, you know. And
can you imagine, like, you know, coming out there and like, is there a problem with the room? No problem. I just don't want any clowns. And like, you're at a clown motel, like, you know, like
you know this, getting into. But yeah, she needed help walking into the door. Like, he's like, she grabbed my arm, grabbed my hand, like a little kid, you know.
Well, don't you think? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I had my stories messed up a little earlier.
We already have a correction.
Yeah. Leona and Leroy's father, Clarence David, he did pass away in the fire, but that was in 1942.
Oh, okay.
And so then in 1911,
that makes sense.
When Big Bill Murphy, he was the one that was helping people on the cart and getting them out.
Oh, there we go. He didn't make it. Okay.
I thought it was their dad, but I blended the two stories together.
I was almost going to say, like, maybe I messed that up. But
I wanted to correct that.
Yeah. No, cool. Good job. Good job, Nate.
He's not going to be a proprietor of fake news.
He will not let anybody else mess up.
Son, if we can make it right, we'll try.
And so here are my notes that the current owner, he said he wanted to decorate some of the rooms in the Friday the 13th, The Exorcist, Halloween, and It. And then he wants the rooms is he wants them to have the views of the graveyard. He said he wants to do 14. He calls them very special rooms. And I thought, that's cool. And he wants to allow the guests to view the crumbling tombstones and weather-torn crosses of the cemetery right outside the rooms. So he wants to maybe extend or expand that. Yeah.
Will you have to pay more for that kind of stuff? Probably.
I bet.
Because, like, normally, you know, you go to, like, a beachfront property or, you know, like, I would like the ocean view.
Yeah.
Like, I'd like the cemetery
view. That'll cost you $500.
Well, man. And it sounds like
part of the Addams family, the Munsters.
Yeah. Well, I would expect that to pay a little extra if you're going to have some special room, as he calls it. And then if it's, that with the view and done up with the whatever Exorcist or,
another idea for him.
I definitely want the Halloween one since that's my favorite movie.
Yeah, here's another idea for him. When you stay in the Nightmare on Elm Street room, when you flip the light off, the song Dream Warriors starts playing.
Dawkins.
Yeah. We're the Dream Warriors.
Listeners,
have to dream no more.
just got a special gift from
Nate. You got Nate serenaded Louts. By Nate. We all got serenaded.
That's a good song.
What was that, about 87, 88?
Something like that. I think it's fourth film, I think. Yeah.
Oh, I love that song. I love Dawkins.
Yeah.
When we got here tonight, and I wasn't sure if I should just walk. I shouldn't just walk right in. Because I was like, should I just walk right in? And Nate was back here playing his bass, so I was like, I think it's okay to just walk right in.
Yeah.
Oh, I heard it. Yeah, I
was like, awesome. He's jamming, yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't hard to find which room. I mean, if he hadn't been here before.
Follow the notes.
That's right. I think that's cool, though. I would definitely, Halloween would be my favorite. That and It. I love Pennywise.
Yeah,
and, The Exorcist, I could do without that. And Friday the 13th is cool. Mm. You know, Jason. Armand, the current owner, he has said that on an interview, and then the story I read, he hears footsteps a lot, knocking and voices coming from the actual rooms, and they are unoccupied. There is nobody at the or in the rooms at that time that he hears the noise, whatever, whichever noise it is, or, you know, and so he goes to check it out, yeah, or he knows nobody's in there. And then Sean, I saw, yeah, it was four women who stayed there together, and they reported that a ghost was in the bathroom, and he was fixing, he offered to fix the toilet. Yeah, so it was four women. I thought that was the story I'd heard.
And he did.
And he did. Such a nice guy. Nice yeah. ghost. Good ghost.
I wonder if they tipped him. They should have tipped him.
Yeah, like handing the money and just kind of falls down on the ground. I mean, is he able to grab it? Or, yeah. I don't know. It's so what, yeah, between Reno and Vegas. I've never been out to Nevada. I've never been to Vegas. My wife did for, I think, a day or something. She went out to California for a wedding. So, you know, decided to go to Vegas. But I think that's the only time she'd been out there, and I've never been there. So.
I've been to Vegas once.
Have you?
I've been to Reno a couple times.
I heard Reno's really, really fun.
Yeah.
You know, Vegas gets all the pub and gets the everybody talking.
Well, Reno's like little baby Vegas.
Well, they call it the biggest little city.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah. But yeah, we'll put this on the list, the Clown Motel.
We're going to have to do clown history someday because there's so much interesting clown history that I'm not going to go into because it gets deep. Who ever thought, like, seriously, like clowns, like how much history can you have? But
Well, I mean, it's just like theater. They have the two clown masks, you know, you have happy, sad,
I was ready to say
drama.
Motley Crue, Theater of Pain.
Yeah, Theater of Pain, yeah.
That's right.
Love that. It's one of my favorite albums and album covers. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, it was a good cover.
Anything else that you guys, like, as far as the, well, I mean, the motel or the cemetery, any other stories or any information that you can share with the listeners?
I don't think so, but or at least as far as I have, but, it's funny because the difference between, like, when you look at the videos that are more day-based, it's like, oh, this is kind of, this would be some place that a kid would be like, yay, I want to go to the Clown Motel, you know, and let's pull off the road and stay there. But when you look at it at night, the lights go down and the place is so much creepier.
Yeah.
Changes completely. Yeah. And some of the pictures I posted.
Mommy, I don't want to stay.
What was it? Poltergeist, where the one young boy has the little clown figurine and it comes to life when the lights go out.
Looks over and it's sitting in the chair.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and then the next time it's not there. And he leans over and just grabs him and pulls him under.
That freaked me out when I was little.
And his arms, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I was scared of clowns at one time.
We finally pulled it out. Nate, just, you know.
He has a fear of clowns.
Don't be afraid to tell us.
No,
just,
I don't.
We're
going to
start
a
list. No, I don't.
Yeah, that freaked me out a little.
Yeah. So. Great movie, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
The original. I was,
we still have to talk about
I was 11 and scared the crud. Oh, my gosh. I watched with my mom and my sister.
That was back in the 1900s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you were 11.
Way back in the 1900s.
Like I can't remember which one it was. It might have been that same one. They're building their house and they're building the pool in the back and the mom falls into the
in the skeleton.
Yeah, and
the
skeleton.
It's poltergeist. Yeah, is that the mud. It's pouring down rain. Yep.
Yeah, that freaked me out too. I was like,
again, another movie. Oh man, did me in. I remember watching it and oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. My sister would. So I was last. She would have been 19, and wasn't as terrified. But oh man, that got to me big time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and you're watching another kid. You know, getting and then remember the braces.
Mm-hmm.
The wrapped around.
Oh, yeah. Oh, come out and start wrapping around his head. Yeah.
Oh,
I do not want braces.
Yeah. I think, though, this place is very interesting and could be fun. But like you said, viewing the pictures or the videos during the day and then you see it at night, it totally changes.
Well, one of the guys, the paranormal investigator groups or whatever, there was a guy that was they were talking to and asked him, because he stayed there a month, and he... they were asking him, like, what was it like? Did you have any experiences? He personally didn't have any experiences. He probably creeped himself out a time or two. But he said after a month, he was pretty much desensitized to them. You know, it was kind of like, I'm kind of used to it. Mm-hmm. It's like anything else. You can get used to it.
Well, I saw, I don't know, it was maybe like 30 minutes. He was pretty funny. He was pretty clever. I don't know if he was a comedian or actor or whatever, but he was very entertaining. But he went there and he stayed with, I think, two buddies. And, what was funny is they, at the time, so I don't know if they set it up because they knew these guys were coming or whatever, but they had a guy in a really, like, what you'd see it at a haunted house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, a little more scary, and kind of walking around. And now that would, you know the guys, you know, but you're just like, oh, okay, just keep it at the acting. I don't want some crazy person actually doing something. Yeah. But I think that would really add to it to really freak people out, you know, kind of.
Well, I think it's interesting that, you know, they, two siblings were left with their dad's collection and they turned it around and did something with it and talking about it today.
Mm-hmm. You know, right.
It's still
right.
a thing.
So. I was surprised that when it was opened, for some reason, I thought, oh, this is going to be like decades old. It's not, mm-hmm. I mean, it's still oldish, but it's not old-ish. That old.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it's not too terribly old.
We were all born.
Yeah.
36 years
yeah.
ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did too. I thought maybe it was something from the 40s or 50s.
Yeah, like I mean, that's my 85. Old saloon turned into a I'm motel.
Like,
oh, hey,
or, right, yeah. Like a real yeah. extensive history.
I would have been, let's see, I know I'm a lot older than you. 8th grade, 85, so I was 14.
Well, depending on what time of the year, I was either 4 or 5. So.
4 mm-hmm. or 5. Thanks, yeah. Nick.
Yeah.
No, yeah, so we'll just, so officially going to put this on the list of places to
I would
check
go
out.
Stay there.
I'd stay a night.
I'd stay a night.
Why not? Oh, yeah. Heck yeah.
Would there be sleeping done? That's the question after
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Would you sleep there?
Okay.
Because it used to be like, or we've talked about like, I ain't going to be any sleeping done.
Because you this said, one, you said sleeping, if there was sleeping well, H.H. Holmes Murder Castle, you said I would go for an investigation or a tour, but you wouldn't yeah. sleep in it.
Yeah. This place you could sleep.
Well, in. I don't know. Maybe the Murder Castle is not that big of a deal because he was actually the one pulling all the levers, so to speak. But like the Whispers Estate or whatever down in Mitchell that I brought up.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, no.
That's, yeah, no sleeping there.
That's known no, for paranormal activity. And it's like, nope, no sleeping. I mean, I'll go and look, but I'm not sleeping.
Yeah.
I'm down for it all. I'm bringing my pillow, my blanket. You're like, I'm sleeping. Oh, yeah. And I remember I said that. And like, yeah. Didn't you say you were going to sleep?
You're like Ghostbusters. You'll go anywhere and
yeah.
help out with
no,
any
kind I talked.
Granted, if we had proton packs.
Well, right.
Yeah, I'd go anywhere.
Sure. No, well, then, yeah. You got to make sure you're armed.
That is something that I know we get off on little tangents, but a nice tangent to get off on would be Ghostbusters. The Ghostbusters 3 is coming out. So.
Yeah.
I love me some Dan Aykroyd. Bill,
well, I've heard Bill good Murray. Things about it. It's
oh, yeah. I saw the clip. Good. Yep. It looks good. We won't give away too much because I... Yeah, but the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man and Paul Rudd scene mm-hmm. has come out recently, and it looks hilarious. They showed it to Bill Murray, and he's like sitting there laughing. He's like, oh, a little marshmallow bag, and he's like, where this is going? And he got to laughing, and it's really neat to see him get tickled. And he's like, yep, that's got the spirit of Ghostbusters. I like it.
Yeah.
So it's cool.
We saw the last, I think it was the last time we went to the movie theater, obviously before COVID hit. And the previews, I don't know.
The trailer,
we saw.
Yeah, saw the trailer.
I've had like three trailers.
And we were sitting there, and I'm like, what in the heck is this? And mm-hmm. we're like, oh my gosh, okay, it's Ghostbusters.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
I can't wait.
Looked fun.
That and Indiana Jones 5, I can't wait.
Here we go.
No, I'm sorry. I had to
how does he get Indiana Jones?
I had to drop
in
that little
every
nugget.
Single
episode. How do clowns and Indiana Jones well, go
I had
together?
To, I had to stair step over to Ghostbusters.
Stair stone, whatever it takes.
Stair stone, and then I stair stone stepped over from Ghostbusters. See, I know. It's like mental chess, but for crazy people that like Indiana Jones.
Yahtzee!
Right. I keep seeing, though, this is a whole other thing. Todd and I are part of, we found each other in a wrestling page. Bret Hart, actually.
Facebook, yeah.
Yeah, which is really funny because Todd's like, what are you doing here? And I was like, what are you doing here?
I see this comment about Bret Hart.
I like Bret Hart.
Sean Layman?
Be quiet.
I'm like, wait a minute. What's going on? Yeah, because I'm a member. I've joined like two or three.
I'm not leaving. You have to leave.
Wrestling. Yeah, one's called...
Bret and I are having a moment.
80s, 90s. One's called... I mean, I'm in.
I've got the 80s wrestling.
Yeah. I'm in like three or four Cobra Kai, you know, Karate Kid ones, wrestling, NBA, old 80s, 90s.
I'm in Monty Python. I'm in wrestling.
I mean, there's a bunch of, yeah. Car. I mean, I've got two or three fireworks.
But I'm in some of the Indiana clubs, Jones ones, and they're mm-hmm. all, most of them are like showing old decrepit pictures of Harrison Ford. Like, he's not going to be able to do it at 80. And it's like, shut up, he can do it.
Oh, yeah, I'm watching. He'll be fine. I'm watching wrestling videos all the time. I mean, well, and so Tori, I don't think he listens. He's my boss at the church. He and Nate knows Tori Murray.
We'll get him one of these days.
I thought you said he did know Tori.
I know Tanner.
You know Tanner. You know Tori?
Tori.
He's 43, 44. He's a Plainfield guy.
Yeah, I might.
So he's our boss, though. He's our maintenance mm-hmm. director. And he was big into the wrestling, you know, 80s and 90s. And mm-hmm. Same thing. We talk about all the different wrestlers.
I miss those.
We'll exchange. Like, I'll say, check this video out, and it'll be Dusty Rhodes, 1985, and the Four Horsemen, you know, and just classic, you know, Macho Man, or great, you know, Undertaker, and my gosh.
I miss those times.
Ric Flair.
The cartoons and the,
Road Warriors. Yeah. Love the Road Warriors.
Yep.
Uh-huh. Yep.
So, anything else you guys want to...
I don't think so.
Talk about on
I could be tangential
motel.
All night, but I probably better stop. Save some for the next one.
Well, this was, it was fun.
We can take the big clown shoes off and put our noses to the side.
Honk, honk. Yeah. Yeah, no, I thought this was different when I was looking through different topics to pick. I thought, you know what, this would be kind of different, you know. Clown Motel, it's not your typical paranormal story. And
well, I mean, like I said, I mean, there's some people that are just absolutely terrified of clowns.
So,
and we'd like to get you help.
So, yeah. Yeah.
We have a motel we'd like you to stay at.
Sean's at the end of the show. Sean's going to give an 800 number out
For clowns.
You know, you got the depression, you got it. And then there's call 1-800 clown to get over your phobia. I will say real quick, there was I won't mention his name because he doesn't work there anymore, but he's still a good friend. He worked at the church. He's one that's deathly afraid of clowns. I mean, that's his. You know, some people it's spiders, some people it's this. Clowns is his.
It's not funny to them.
No. And it's not. No, this is a serious.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm like, wow.
You don't send him a clownogram, right?
Yeah, don't. No.
Birthday clown.
Open the card,
whatever.
And the clown pops up.
And I'm thinking, and you know, I'm 50, so I think he might be like 34, 35. And I thought, I wonder if it stemmed from, did he have like a bad experience with Ronald McDonald? Did, you know, maybe watching, you know, he wouldn't have been around for the Bozo show, but I wonder, how does that start? What, there has to be something.
Yeah, something to start
it that intense, because he is really scared of clowns. Hmm. Yeah, so, well, guys, well, thanks for listening to that little discussion about the Clown Motel in Tonopah, Nevada. So that was fun. So now I'm going to turn it over to Sean, since we don't have anything else to discuss about the motel, for his middle-aged moment and announcements.
I do. I have the middle-aged moment here coming at you. The first thing is I'm going to take a page off from Nate, who wanted to do like a humor corner. And so I have this written. I saw this over the last couple of weeks. And somebody put, "Don't follow in my footsteps." And I thought, oh, this is going to be like a really sweet ending. And it says, "Don't follow in my footsteps. I walk into walls."
That's good. Like, that's good.
I should probably tell my kids that every once in a while.
Don't always be a follower.
Exactly, right?
So don't do as I do as I say. That's what my dad used to say all the time.
If you've listened to any of the other, the past podcasts, you know that we've kind of stumbled into this, you know, I'm going to read a quote, or I'm going to read a story, I'm going to read this and that. We've done a fair amount of poetry. But I thought that we would talk about some like little short stories. And so I'm going to try not to take too much time on these, but I think these are really good. Some of these hit home for me. So I think the guys will enjoy these. So the first one is called The Elephant Rope. And it is, its central theme is about belief and the beliefs that we hold. A gentleman was walking through an elephant camp, and he spotted that the elephants weren't being kept in cages or held by the use of chains. All that was holding them back from escaping the camp was a small piece of rope tied to one of their legs. As the man gazed upon the elephants, he was completely confused as to why the elephants didn't just use their strength to break the rope and escape the camp. They could easily have done so, but instead they didn't try at all. Curious and wanting to know the answer, he asked a trainer nearby why the elephants were just standing there and never tried to escape. The trainer replied, "When they are very young and much smaller, we use the same size rope to tie them, and at that age, it's enough to hold them. As they grow up, they are conditioned to believe they cannot break away. They believe the rope can still hold them, so they never try to break free. The only reason that the elephants weren't breaking free and escaping from the camp was that over time, they adopted the belief that it wasn't possible. So the moral of this story is, no matter how much the world tries to hold you back, always continue with the belief that what you want to achieve is possible. Believing you can become successful is the most important step in actually achieving it." I like that one.
I do too.
Mm-hmm.
Another one, like I said, I could read these all day long and all night long, but thinking outside of the box. So this one is about creative thinking. In a small Italian town, hundreds of years ago, a small business owner owned a large sum of money to a loan shark. The loan shark was a very old, unattractive-looking guy that just so happened to fancy the business owner's daughter. He decided to offer the businessman a deal that would completely wipe out the debt he owed him. However, the catch was that he would only wipe out the debt if he could marry the businessman's daughter. Needless to say, this proposal was met with a look of disgust. The loan shark said that he would place two pebbles in a bag, one white and one black. The daughter would then have to reach into the bag and pick out a pebble. If it was black, the debt would be wiped, but the loan shark would then marry her. If it was white, the debt would also be wiped, but the daughter wouldn't have to marry the loan shark. Standing on a pebble-strewn path in the businessman's garden, the loan shark bent over and picked up two pebbles. Whilst he was picking them up, the daughter noticed that he'd picked up two black pebbles and placed them both into the bag. He then asked the daughter to reach into the bag and pick one. The daughter naturally had three choices as to what could have been done. Number one, refuse to pick a pebble from the bag. Number two, take both pebbles out of the bag and expose the loan shark for cheating. Or number three, pick a pebble from the bag fully, well knowing it was black, and sacrifice herself for her father's freedom. She drew out a pebble from the bag, and before looking at it, accidentally dropped it into the midst of the other pebbles. She said to the loan shark, "Oh, how clumsy of me. Never mind, if you look into the bag for the one that is left, you will be able to tell which pebble I picked." The pebble left in the bag is obviously black, and seeing as the loan shark didn't want to be exposed, he had to play along as if the pebble the daughter dropped was white, and clear her father's debt. Moral of the story, it's always possible to overcome a tough situation out of the box thinking, and not give in to only options if you think you have to pick from. I thought that was good.
That's how my mind works. I always think outside the box.
Good, because, yeah, and unfortunately in school, we're not really taught that. We're taught a lot of, like, well, because I said so, or because this is the way it's always been.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's good to think outside the box.
Yep.
Yeah. I do it all the time at work. I mean, I'll just throw wild ideas out there, and some of them work, some of them don't. I mean,
can't hurt to.
Yeah. Maybe the other guy's like, out. No, that's too crazy. We can't do that. I was like, okay. Well, then I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah, nothing hurt.
Yeah, it's an idea. That's all it was. Mm-hmm. We don't have to do it.
Yeah.
So, just trying to think outside the box.
I thought this one was good. This is this is called Box Full of Kisses, and this central theme is love. Some time ago, a man punished his 3-year-old daughter for wasting a roll of gold wrapping paper. Lonnie was light, and he became infuriated when the child tried to decorate a box to put under the Christmas tree. Nevertheless, the little girl brought the gift to her father the next morning and said, "This is for you, Daddy." The man became embarrassed by his overreaction earlier, but his rage continued when he saw that the box was empty. He yelled at her, "Don't you know when you give someone a present, there's supposed to be something inside?" The little girl looked up at him and with tears in her eyes and cried, "Oh, Daddy, it's not empty at all. I blew kisses into the box. They're all for you, Daddy." The father was crushed. He put his arms around the little girl and begged for her forgiveness. Only a short time later, an accident took the life of the child. Her father kept the gold box by his bed for many years, and whenever he was discouraged, he would take out the imaginary kisses and remember the love of the child who had put them there. Moral of the story, love is the most precious gift in the world.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
There are several other stories, and I can use those later, but that one's the one I definitely wanted. I wanted three of the top ones that spoke to me.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I like those.
Yeah, they're good.
Love conquers all, right?
That's what they say. That's true. I can attest to that. Yep.
So we'll go after this. We're going back to poetry. No, I'm just kidding. I thought those were good. Some of those stories. I think
we can do some Andrew Dice Clay.
There you go.
Oh man,
roses are red.
Nate, family show. Family show.
Not going any further.
Humor corner, baby. And take it away, Nate.
Man, that's going back to the 80s. Hey, Andrew Dice Clay, leather jacket.
Yep.
Oh man.
He became his character, didn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but thanks for those. I like those.
No problem. Yeah, and then, like, I know that we've been doing these on every podcast, but if this is your first podcast listening, you'll know that we're really trying to, you know, we want to bring the creepy stuff. We want to bring the interesting stuff. We want to bring the historical stuff. We want to bring, you know, we want to entertain you guys. But we're also here building a community and trying to make sure that we're highlighting mental health. And May is Mental Health Month. We've talked about that at the beginning of the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to mental health, right?
Yep.
So, you know, we want to make sure that we're creating this time for all of us to come together as a community, help each other. You know, we appreciate you guys being part of our lives, and we're part of your life.
This is a family.
It is a family, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we want you to be able to find us. You know, you can find our email address is makopodcast@gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram.
Now make sure that's two A's, you know, because in case somebody's not
M-A-A-C-O. Yeah. Mako. We have merch. We've been talking about this. We have our logo on just about anything you can imagine. Obviously people, you know, t-shirts and hats and those kind of things are what things people think of, but like, you know, I now have a keychain.
I got a keychain today.
I was
excited even.
I was wiggling my keys at him like, the keys are sad. They don't have the logo on it yet. So now they have the logo.
I'm like, oh yeah, that's right.
They're complete. They've been completed.
Yay.
So you can find the merch on Facebook, Instagram, and you can contact us through the email or you can contact any of us if you have an order and we can get that. Todd's the one taking care of all those.
Yep. And I have four product sites, if you want to call them that, that I'll try to get the best price for you guys. So kind of all over the place. I mean, you know, they're pretty comparable, but still sometimes I'm like, ooh, that's a big difference. Cause you know, some with the shipping and handling, with all that said, So I'll do the best I can to find you the best price for whatever. So
You can find us on Instagram and Facebook at Middle Aged and Creeped Out on both of those. We always want you to remember to rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast. That is the Apple, basically, or the iTunes. Mm-hmm. But all the other ones you can subscribe, so no matter how you're listening to us. We want to remind you that if you fill out a review, you will be entered automatically into a drawing for a free coffee, a Mako coffee mug. We'll choose the winner coming May 16th. That's my brother's birthday, by the way, just so you know.
Oh, it is May 16th.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. And it's going to be, we've had two or three people order coffee mugs and they are very, very good quality. Mm-hmm. They're nice. Mm-hmm. I would try to order the, they've got different sizes, but you know, I'd get you like maybe the 15-ounce if you want, you know, so yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah. So rate.
I posted Claire fixed herself breakfast and she's like, here's a picture of my breakfast.
On
Saturday.
That was sweet.
And I was like, that's so sweet because there's our little Mako mug. So
it's
being used, in other words, which is cool.
Yeah.
So we, you know, we keep saying this, but we're going to keep saying it. We appreciate so much you allowing us to be here, for your support and encouragement. It means the world to the three of us and our families. And, you know, we all have jobs. We all enjoy what we're doing. We all enjoy, you know, being part of the rest of our lives. But this has become a very special part to us. We're seeing each other every couple of weeks. We're all being very flexible, but it is, it's something that's recharging us, where it's making us better people. I promise you, it's making us better parents and better, fathers. And I feel like I'm a better therapist. So I can't thank you enough of how this is helping us. So,
and it sounds weird saying that. Everybody's like, well, or not everybody, but they might be saying, well,
no, everybody.
Yeah. I don't know why I said everybody. Yeah, everybody, every single one of you. No, but you know, I know somebody might be saying, well, how does that help you be a better husband or better dad or better worker? Mm-hmm. This is our outlet. This gives us something to look forward to. It's our creative, and I've wanted that for years. I've told my wife, I need this.
It breaks the chain of normalcy of every week I do the same thing over and over.
It doesn't feel like this is not.
Goodness. This gives us something to do.
This isn't something
outside of that.
Right. There's no
exactly, like, Nate. Exactly.
Like work is work, and then sometimes work life can be wonderful, and sometimes it can really weigh on you. This doesn't feel like work. This is fun. Like this is something, and we're accountable to each other. That's the other cool thing.
Well, and the fun thing is like these conversations is like if all three of us went out to dinner.
This is how
we'd be talking about. Mm-hmm. You know,
it's just fun. We're learning,
keeping it a little more G-rated and PG, but
yeah. It just gives us a chance to, like Nate said, it breaks up the monotony of the everyday schedule or the every week schedule, and it's fun. We learn just along with you guys.
Right.
I mean, doing the research is fun. You know,
You guys do research? Oh crap! I guess
you haven't done that yet, Sean.
I have to do research now. This is all in my head. I'm just like.
Well, when I said the Clown Motel, Sean's like, oh, yeah, I know that.
I know about that.
Well, it was 1911. When
my phone and this is my other part of my brain, right?
But real quick, not to interrupt, but yes, it does help us be better because this just gives us a chance to look forward to something that it's not our everyday deal. You know, it's not our job. And it's a lot of fun. It's just.
Not to be sappy, but I love it. I do love it.
Too.
I love this. I
really and we love you guys. And
love you, man.
The Facebook group and a lot of the same ones are on Instagram, but then there's some different, you know, they might follow Instagram, but they're not on Facebook. And it's just cool to like, oh, somebody takes the time to like
Love conquers all, right?
Or they make a comment or something, and that's it is. I feel like it's another family. It's another family.
Yeah, you feel like you're touching someone.
Yeah. And
appropriately.
Yeah.
Nate, again, this is a family show.
Nate, I'm trying.
Off the air, we keep telling Nate, keep it like, appropriate.
Okay, I'm going to have to write into my pre-show.
Creepy
Nate,
corners.
Remember.
And
you're taking that commercial, reach out and touch someone.
Reach out emotionally touching someone.
Yeah.
AT&T, baby.
Yeah, that's right. No. Anyway.
We'll get some royalties, right?
Yeah, this is fun, though. This is great time.
So our listening platforms are infinite. No, I don't know. There's tons out there that I've never even heard of that keep coming up. iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, and however you want to listen to us is fine. iHeartRadio. There's a whole bunch. Audio Boom.
I keep forgetting iHeartRadio for some reason. I say it every time.
Yeah, I listen to a few of them on there.
Yeah. I used to listen to iHeart for different comedy shows and music, but I forget about as far as podcasting. I don't think of that for podcasts.
Yeah, so there's just about everywhere. And if you look it up and you can't find it, then just go to another one if we're not there.
But yeah, right.
We're on several of them. Okay, so that's how you find us. And the last thing that we want to, before we sign off, is, and we want to share this every single time, because like I said, this is the most important thing, that we're here to help each other. We're here to help you. We're here to support. And so I want to give out the two most important numbers that we can give out, the substance and not the clown. Wait, we're not doing the clown one, right?
No.
Okay.
No.
I got to get that one.
They're on their own.
Yep. Sorry about it. So substance abuse and mental health, hotlines, that's 1-800-662-4357. And those last four are help. And the National Prevention of Suicide Lifeline is 1-800-273-8255. And the last four on that are talk.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Sean. Again, you nail it every time.
It's my pleasure.
I mean, this guy is something else.
It's like this is my second job or first job or...
Yeah, all right.
Who knows?
Yeah, and someday you won't even have to have these notes. You'll just rip
off
the phone
numbers. I'm like...
it's fake. He's just reading it off of paper.
I totally am. I can't imagine the day I could do that.
That's what my wife talks about.
I should have known by now. We're only on 11. We're still a baby podcast.
No, I'm going to give you till 20. And then once episode 20, okay. I mean, you better have it memorized.
The heat is on.
It's going to be like the Pinocchio. Cutting the strings.
Wow.
Amy's going to take care of me. She's going to keep doing this for me.
Wow. Was it only a week in between?
Save me, Amy.
You talk about clowns. We are being clowns tonight.
I know. Something in the water, right?
Yeah. It's fun. Or the sweet tea or the Dr. Pepper, whatever.
Are you H.H. Holmes and pumping something in this room?
Yeah, why?
I'm feeling lightheaded.
Well, thanks, Sean, for doing that.
My pleasure.
Nate, anything you want to add before I sign off?
No, I think I'm good.
You're good?
Yeah.
I want to hear that, Nate. Used to say, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap.
That's a wrap. Well, guys, we want to thank you again for listening to episode 11. And until next time, creepies, Nate is our sound engineer. We are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged
and creeped out. Keep it creepy.